So as we mentioned earlier, today's Divrei Torah, today's Chabura should be Le'ilu Nishmas, Rachel Lea Bas Chaim Asher HaKoin, whose yahrzeit is today. So we're up to the Gemara on Chav Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah used to be Mitzupa Zahav. It used to have a gold coating around it, seemingly in order that it should be Lehidr Mitzvah, it should be more beautiful. So the same way we have a gold or a silver menorah, the same way we have a gold or a silver mezuzah case, so too they used to make a golden crown, a golden covering around the shofar for Rosh Hashanah. So look at the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Bahatanya, how can you tell me that they used to have a golden coating around the shofar? Doesn't the Braisa tell us, Tipehu Zah B'makam Hanachas Piv? If you have a golden coating around the place, around the tip of the shofar where the Baal Tokeya has his mouth blowing the shofar, puzzle, that's not going to be a kosher shofar. So how can our Mishnah say that on Rosh Hashanah, specifically out of respect to the mitzvah, out of Hidr Mitzvah, they used to go and make a golden coating? Don't we know if you have a golden coating on the shofar that now disqualifies the shofar from being used? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Kitna Nami Mastisin Shalob Makam Anachas HaPetnan. When our Mishnah says that they used to have a golden coating around the shofar, that doesn't mean on the part where the Baal Tokeh actually blows, because obviously that would disqualify the shofar. You're not able to use such a shofar. However, when the Gemara says they used to make a shofar made out of gold, that just meant on other parts of the shofar. Like we have a talus. So you have a silver part of the talus on different parts of the talus out of Hidr Mitzvah. So too over here, they put the gold coating around the shofar for Hidr Mitzvah around other parts of the shofar. That's not where the Baal Tokeh was going to keep his lips, and therefore wouldn't get in the way. Now, the Gemara's assumption is that if there would be a gold coating at the place where the Baal Tokeh puts his mouth, where he's supposed to blow, that would be a problem. That would disqualify the shofar from being used. And the question is why. The Rishonim have a big disagreement as to why that should be the case. What's wrong with a shofar that has a golden tip? What's wrong with the shofar if the Baal Tokeh doesn't touch the edge of it as he's blowing it? What's the problem? Bottom line, is the kol ha-shofar coming out? Yes. So what's the issue? So the Rishonim have a machlokas. Rashi says, Shatkiya hi bezahav v'lo b'shofar. Because if I'm going to have a golden coating at the tip where the Baal Tokeh is going to put his mouth, then it's going to be that I'm blowing a piece blowing. Rashi doesn't really explain exactly what he means. Other Rishonim spell it out a little more clearly. The Meiri writes, She'ein zeh kol ha-shofar, ela kol ha-zav, hol v'hakol over derech halav. Since my blowing is going through the zav instead of through the shofar, so now that's going to somehow impact the sound that comes out, and it's no longer the sound of just an unadulterated shofar, now it's going to be the sound of a piece of gold, and that's why it's not going to be good. Okay, so that's the way some Rishonim learn. However, there are other Rishonim that say no. What's the reason why if I have a piece of gold at the tip of the shofar, and when the Baal Tokeh picks up that shofar and he blows it through the tip of gold, why is it not going to be a good shofar blowing? Even though it's going to sound exactly the same, it's going to look exactly the same, why shouldn't I be yotze the mitzvah with such a shofar? Says the Ritva, Dehavi chatzitza, because that's going to constitute a chatzitza. Deba'inan shelo yehe chotzitz klum ben ha-shofar v'atokeya. You have to make sure that the Baal Tokeya's mouth is directly on the shofar, and anything that's in the way is going to constitute a chatzitza, and therefore, you would not be able to be mekayim the mitzvah in that way. So, sounds very nice, and it sounds like a very interesting machlokas harishonim as to why we have a problem when you coat the tip of the shofar with a piece of gold. Now, on this Gemara, there's a very famous kasha, which Josh Levine just looked it up in the Masifta, and they don't even have the kasha, but it's an amazing kasha. It's a kasha that the Chalkas Yoav asked to his Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. Now, the Avnei Nezer responded to the Chalkas Yoav, and he printed a tshuva on this in the tshuva's Avnei Nezer. And the Chalkas Yoav was so excited about his correspondence with his Rebbe about it that he once again wrote it again in the Hakdamah to his own Sefer. That's how Gishmak he thought the Vart was from the Avnei Nezer. So what's the kasha? The kasha is as follows. We have a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Zayin, where the Gemara is talking about putting an egget around the lulav. So the Gemara says you have to tie up the lulav. What do you tie up the lulav with? Different kinds of opinions of what exactly you should use to tie up the lulav to keep all the meaning together. What's the reason why I tie it up? I don't really have to tie it up. So the Gemara says it's Mishum Hidr Mitzvah. It beautifies the mitzvah when everything looks nicely packaged together and you have it all tied up and then you're going to take the lulav and esrog. That's Mishum Hidr Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, do I have to make sure that when I shake the lulav and esrog, I don't put my hands on the part that's the tie? Right? Do I have to make sure that I hold it on the part that's actually the lulav and esrog itself, or the hadassim and the aravas? Or can I even put my hands over the part that's serving as the tie around the lulav and esrog around the dalad minim? So the Gemara says, no problem at all. When you shake the lulav and esrog, you're even allowed to hold it by the place which serves as the tie. Why? Because we have a principle. Kol l'na'uso eino chotzeitz. Whatever is put onto the mitzvah in order to beautify the mitzvah, that's not going to constitute a chatzitza. So over here, what's the reason why I wrap something around the dalad minim when I shake them on sukkis? In order that it should be a more beautiful mitzvah. L'na'uso, I'm doing it for a hiddur mitzvah, for a na'iha mitzvah. So therefore the Gemara says, you don't have to worry. Anytime you have something on the mitzvah item which is only serving as a hiddur mitzvah, as a na'iha mitzvah, to beautify the mitzvah, there would be no problem of chatzitza at all. Well, frek the chalkas yov, if that's true, why in anyone's right mind would you put gold on the shofar? Obviously you're putting gold on the shofar because of hiddur mitzvah. You want the shofar to be more beautiful, just like you want your mezuzah case to be gold or silver, just like you want your menorah to be gold or silver, so you want your shofar to be gold or silver. So why should the Ritva say over here that when I have a tip of the shofar that's made out of gold, and that's going to disqualify the shofar from being used because that constitutes a chatzitza? Doesn't that go against the principle that the Gemara has in Sukkah, that any time I have something which is l'na'usa, which is to beautify the mitzvah, that cannot serve as a chatzitza? He has the question there?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so let's see if he has the same answer. So this is the kasha, and don't think it's just the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, don't think it's just the Gemara in Sukkah that call l'na'usa in a chotzeitz. This is halacha l'maisa. Hilchos Sukkah, Tafresh Nun Aleph, the Mechaber quotes that Gemara and says, no, anytime you have something which is to beautify a mitzvah, that is not going to serve as a chatzitza at all. So this was the question that the Chalkos Yov sent to his Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, and the Avnei Nezer sent him back two responses. I don't think we'll have time to get through both of them, so maybe we'll get through one, then tomorrow we'll do, maybe a little bit after Mincha, we'll try to get through the other one. So here is answer number one. The Avnei Nezer suggests as follows. Says the Avnei Nezer, in order to provide a sufficient teretz for this question, you have to first look at the Ramban in our Gemara. The Ramban in our Sugya in Rosh Hashanah has the following. The students of the Ramban posed him the following question. What's the halacha if you have an unbelievable batokeya, somebody who can do magic? What magic can he do? He can hold the shofar nowhere near his mouth. He can somehow blow, and all of a sudden, even though his mouth is nowhere near the shofar, a sound is going to come out of the shofar. How do you do such a thing? I have no idea. But the Ramban was posed with this question. Would I be able to perform my mitzvah of tkiyah shofar if somebody gets up, holds a shofar nowhere near his mouth, blows into the shofar, and then some sound comes out of the shofar? Is that a sufficient kiyam ha-mitzvah? Is that considered like we blew the shofar? Or do you say, no, that's not considered tkiyah shofar at all? That's the question that was asked in the Ramban. Answers the Ramban, no. In such case, you have not fulfilled your obligation of tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? What's the problem? So the Ramban writes as follows. If our Gemara says that if you put a piece of gold in the way of the person's mouth, of the Baal Tekeah's mouth, and he's not touching the shofar itself, that's going to serve as a chatzitza, well, says the Ramban, the same would be over here. The person's mouth isn't touching the shofar. Just like when you have the gold in the way, that also stops the person, prevents the Baal Tekeah from blowing the shofar directly. So to over here, says the Ramban, since you have air in the way, and the Baal Tekeah is not holding the shofar in his mouth, therefore that would disqualify such a tkiyah shofar, and you would not be able to fulfill your obligation of tkiyah shofar in such a case. That's the way the Ramban paskins in our sugya, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. Nichol shofar simin tav kuf pei vav, says the Shulchan Aruch, im hirchik ha-shofar v'nafach bo, if you take the shofar away from your mouth, v'nafach bo, but somehow you blow into it, even though it's not touching your mouth, v'taka pasol, that's not considered a kosher tkiyah shofar, because you are not touching the shofar itself, like the Ramban says. Ask the Pri Chadash and that Shulchan Aruch, what do you mean? There's a major difference between the case that our Gemara has and the case of the Ramban. What's the difference? The case of the Ramban is where you have airspace in the way. There's nothing in the way. It's just that my mouth is not touching the shofar. In our Gemara, what's the difference? In our Gemara, you have a piece of gold on the end of the shofar. You're not touching it because there's a chatzitza in the way. There's something else blocking you from touching the shofar. That's why our Gemara says it's not kosher, because you have a chatzitza. Over here, in the case that the Ramban is describing, where there's no chatzitza in the way, all you have is airspace in between my mouth and the shofar, how can you compare those two cases? How can you say that that's similar, the case of the Ramban, where the person has airspace between his mouth and the shofar, how can you say that that is similar at all to the case that our Gemara gives of having a piece of gold in the way, which really would serve as a chatzitza? Okay, so far so good? So we have two questions. Question number one is, Doesn't the Gemara say in Sukkah that kol nu'usa eino chotzeitz? Anytime you have something which is to beautify a mitzvah that can never serve as a chatzitza, that can never stand in the way of you performing your mitzvah. So why does our Gemara say that when you have a golden piece in the way of the Baal Tokeya blowing the shofar, that would constitute a chatzitza? Don't we know that is made for the Noya mitzvah? That's made for the Hidr mitzvah of shofar, so that shouldn't be a chatzitza at all. That's question number one. Question number two is on the Ramban. The Ramban in our Gemara says, the same way that our Gemara says that a piece of gold would disqualify the shofar from being used because of a chatzitza, so too says the Ramban, when you have airspace in between my mouth and the shofar, that would also disqualify. How would that disqualify? That's not a chatzitza. There's nothing in the way between my mouth and the shofar. So these are the two questions that the Avnei Nezer discusses in the tshuva. Writes the Avnei Nezer, you can answer all them at once. He says that the Ramban here has a chiddush like an achron. The Ramban here is not talking like the Ramban normally does. The Ramban here comes up with a chiddush like Rab Chaim, like the achronim would say. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says that there are times when, let's say, a person has to go into the mikvah. So the Torah tells us, what are the guidelines exactly of how you're supposed to go into the mikvah? And if you have such a spot on your body, that would be considered a chatzitza. If you have such a bandage on your body, that would be a chatzitza. Other kinds of bandages might not be. The Torah gives us exact guidelines of what would be considered a chatzitza when it comes to going into the mikvah, for example. So he says, one of the examples that we are given is that min bimino eno chotzitz. If you have a piece of skin, that's not considered min bimino eno chotzitz. That would never constitute a chatzitza because that's exactly a part of your body. Now you have another piece of skin on top of it. That's not considered a chatzitza at all. Or you have the klal over here. Kol nu'usa eno chotzitz. Anytime you have something which is to beautify the mitzvah, it's also not a chatzitza. That's only when we're talking about the halacha of chatzitza. However, the Ramban says, there are other halachas in the Torah where the Torah doesn't just say, make sure there's no chatzitza. There are other halachas in the Torah where the Torah says that you need negiya. Not that there shouldn't be a chatzitza, not that there shouldn't be anything in the way, but there are times when the Torah says you actually have to touch the item. If it was just chatzitza, then you would say, l'nu'usa eino chotzeitz. So here says the Avnei Nezer. Based on that Ramban is not here. The Avnei Nezer dug up a Ramban in Bechoros. We really assume that min bimino eino chotzeitz. This has nothing to do with chatzitza. There are certain times in halacha where the Ramban teaches us, you need to have negiya mamish. You actually have to touch the item. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, that's why the Ramban wrote over here. Even though when you have just avir in between my mouth and the shofar, and there's nothing in the way, and I figure out how to do some trick where I can blow so heavily that my blowing is able to make a sound come out of the shofar, still says the Ramban, that's not going to work. Why is it not going to work? Says the Ramban, that's the same as our Gemara, by having a piece of gold in the way when I'm blowing the shofar. What do you mean, having a piece of gold in the way? That's a chatzitza. How is the avir a chatzitza? The answer is the Ramban learns over here, by tkiyah shofar, the halacha is that you need to have negiya. You need that you should touch the shofar. Doesn't help that you have no chatzitza in the way. You need that the Baal Tokeya should actually touch the shofar. And there says the Avnei Nezer, where does the Ramban get such a chiddush from by tkiya shofar? How does the Ramban come up with this? Says the Avnei Nezer, because he was bothered with the Chalkas Yov's question. He was bothered with the Chalkas Yov's question. Chalkas Yov said, how could our Gemara say there's a problem here of chatzitza when you have the golden piece on the shofar? What do you mean, golden piece on the shofar? Don't you know the rules? The rule is in Maseches Sukkah, kol nu'usa eino chotzeitz. If it's there only for the Noya HaMitzvah, only for the Hidr Mitzvah, that will not constitute a chatzitza. So how does the Gemara come off and say that your tkiya shofar in a case like that, when you have a piece of gold on the tip of it and the Baal Tokeya is not touching the shofar directly, that would be a chatzitza, even though it's there for the Hidr Mitzvah? Answer is the Avnei Nezer, because the Ramban understands in our Gemara that it must be that you need negiya mamish. It must be that the Baal Tokeya has to actually touch the tip of the shofar. He has to blow it directly. And therefore, if there's anything in the way, even if it's l'na'uso, even if it follows all the rules of chatzitza, still it would be a major problem, because chatzitza is not the issue here by shofar. The issue by shofar is that you need to have negiya mamish. That's the understanding of the Avnei Nezer. Now, ad kan divrei ha'Avnei Nezer, for the first answer. We're going to get to the second answer maybe tomorrow. But what I think is worth making note of is that this is not the only place where this Ramban can be applied. It's not the only place where we have this kind of halacha. Take, for example, by Big Day Kuhuna. We have by Big Day Kuhuna a mitzvah that the Kohanim have to wear Big Day Kuhuna. And the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yutes asks a very strange question. Ask the Gemara, Bai Rava. So you have a Kohen who's wearing his Big Day Kuhuna the way he's supposed to. And now a big wind comes into the Beis HaMikdash, and sometimes you wear a baggy shirt, so your shirt can get air in it, and it's not directly touched body. So the Gemara asks, Ba'i Rava, Nichnasa lo ruach, let's say now some wind gets in between your shirt and your chest, or your shirt and your pants, whatever it is, you're not going to be able to have the garment directly against your body, because there's wind in the way. So the Gemara wants to know, is that considered like I'm wearing the Bigdei Kahuna? Can I be doing avoda while my clothing are not directly touching my body because there's air blowing in the way? Or do you say, come on, give me a break, what do you mean? That's considered wearing the clothing. Ah, there's a wind blowing and now my sleeve is coming up a little bit, my shirt is going, protruding a little bit. Come on, that's still considered wearing the clothing. So what's the Gemara's tzad? Why should you say that that's not considered like wearing the Bigdei Kahuna? Says the Gemara, no. Because we have a requirement by Bigdei Kahuna that it has to be al basaro, has to be on your basar, on the body itself. And therefore the Gemara says, maybe when you have something in the way, even if it's nothing in the way, but it's just air that's blowing the shirt away from your chest, that would already consider it as if you are not wearing the Bigdei Kahuna. And the Gemara Maseches Yuma, take for example the Gemara in Yuma that outlines all of the avoda on Yom Kippur. So it says the Kohen Gadol has to go into the mikveh, out of the mikveh, and he has to put on these clothing, change the clothing, back and forth, go do this avoda, shech that karban. So there the Gemara says, Pashat, he takes off his clothing, Yarad, he goes into the mikveh, betaval, he goes and does a tefillah in the mikveh, Allah, he comes up, v'nistapeg, and he dries himself off, and then the Mishnah goes on and on and on. So the Mishnah of the Melech itself, why does the Mishnah have to say, he goes down, takes his clothing off, goes down into the mikveh, comes out of the mikveh, has to dry himself off. Of course he has to dry himself off. Any normal person that comes out of the shower takes a towel. So why does the Mishnah have to say? Well, part of the avodah on Yom Kippur is, not only does he go into the mikveh, and not only does he have to put on the new Bigdei Kahuna, but he also has to dry himself off before he puts on the Bigdei Kahuna. Of course, he's a regular person, he's a normal guy. Any normal person who comes out of the shower dries himself off with a towel. Says the Mishnah Melech, the Mishnah is just telling me, what he would do, does it say, oh, and when he sneezes, he should also get a tissue in order that he shouldn't have things coming out of his nose? Come on! Why does the Mishnah have to tell me such simple, mundane activity? Obviously, it's what he has to do. So why does the Mishnah tell me specifically, Olav in a stopik? Says the Mishnah Lamalach, I'll tell you why. Because if he's not going to dry himself off, the water is going to be a chatzitza between his body and the clothing. Water is going to be a chatzitza? What are you talking about? Therefore, says the Mishnah Lamalach, the same way that the Gemara says that avir would be a chatzitza, the same way that air, the Gemara has a suffix in Tzvachim, if air would be in the way, if air is blowing in the Beis HaMikdash, and now the Bigdei Kahuna are not directly touching his body, that would be a shaila whether or not he's allowed to do the avoda while his clothing is not directly touching him. So too says the Mishnah Melech, we require on Yom Kippur when he goes in and out of the mikveh that he has to dry himself off thoroughly each time before putting on the begadim. So you'll ask, just parenthetically, well, what's the big deal? So he puts on the begadim. Obviously, in another 3 minutes, once he puts the clothing on, he's going to dry off from the clothing that he's wearing. So what do I care if at the time of the levishas habegadim he had, at the time that he's putting the clothing on, he has water on him? What does that make a difference? Bottom line, now 10 minutes later, he's wearing the begadim and he's dried off, and there's nothing in the way. Well, that's not so pashut, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash that the seder levishas habegadim is very important. The way in which you put them on. So let's say a Kohen miraculously ends up with all the begadim on him. There's a machine that's going to come and you step into the machine and all of a sudden everything is around the Kohen Gadol without him having to do anything and without going in the proper order. The Rambam tells us clearly that would be a lack of, that would be considered like mechusar begadim, the Rambam says. Because there's a way not only to wear the Bigdei Kahuna, but there's a way in which you have to put them on in the first place. So over here, if you assume that it would be a chatzitza because there's water in the way, because you haven't dried yourself off, even if 10 minutes later when you are dry, it's still going to be a problem. You have to take off the begadim and put them on again. Now, that's the halacha by Bigdei Kahuna, and that's a major issue. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Nemar b'Bigdei Kahuna, the Pasuk says, by wearing Bigdei Kahuna, al bisaro ulevei sham. And that's why the Gemara in Zvachim takes it so seriously. Those who are taking notes and paying attention, this is in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Yud Halacha Vav. The Rambam says, Bigdei Kahuna has a special Gzeres HaKosav that says, Al Bisaro, Melamedim. From here we learn, Shelo Yehei Davar Chotzeitz Bein Bisaro LeBegadim. You're not allowed to have anything in the way between your own body and the Begadim themselves. Afilu Nima Achas, even one little thread that doesn't belong. O Afar, O Kina, even if you have a bug or you have a little bit of dirt. Em Haisa Bein Bisaro LeBegad Hareza Chatzitzev Avodasa Psula. The Avodah is going to be totally disqualified. The Fikach. Therefore the Kohen is not allowed to wear his tefillin. Why? Because that's a chatzitza. That stands in the way between the body and the begadim. And then the Rambam goes on in Halacha Zayin. Tzarech lihizar, you have to be careful, says the Rambam. B'sha shalovesh, when you're wearing the big dekuna, shalo yehe avak ben begadol b'sor, you shouldn't have any dust, any dirt. Lo kina afa pishu v'chayim v'lo tikanis haruach, says the Rambam. Like the Gemara says, don't even go when the wind is blowing, make sure that you have your begadim tied on you. B'sha sa'avodah ben b'sor l'begdash shi'yitzracha kabegan me'elav, says the Rambam, like our Gemara says, like we're pointing out, that this is something by big dekuna, which is very chamer, because the pasuk says al bisar. Now, the Achronim ask on the Mishnah LeMelech, how can the Mishnah LeMelech tell me that water is going to constitute a chatzitza? Water is going to be a chatzitza? What do you mean? Again, the Mishnah LeMelech said, why does the Kohen Gadol have to go ahead and dry himself off every time he comes out of the mikvah on Yom Kippur? Mishnah LeMelech says, because otherwise it's going to be a chatzitza between the big tikkun and his body. He has water in the way. So the Achronim asked, don't we have a Psachim Samachay, where the Gemara says, if you think about what the floor of the Azara looked like, what do we know? What was going on the floor? There's blood all over the place. You were shechting animals here, and this one's running around with his dam, and the other one's things spilling all over the place. So the Gemara says, let's say you have somebody who goes on top, he stands on top of a pot and shechts a carbon. He's not standing on the floor of the Azara at the time that he does the Avod. Is that Avod a Kasher? No. That's a Chatzitza, because you have to be standing on the floor. However, the Gemara says, what about the blood that's all over the floor? Why does that not constitute a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, because blood is just mayim, it's just water, it's something that's not going to be a chatzitza, and we assume that that's not a problem at all. Dabar lachein ochotzitz, when you have something wet, that's not considered to be a chatzitza at all. That's what we assume. Let's say a woman goes into the mikvah, she just took a shower before she went in, now she has a little bit of water on her body when she goes in. Nobody would say that's a chatzitza for the mikvah. It's a davar lach. It's not anything in the way. It's not like she has mud on her arm. She just has a little drop of water. That's not a problem at all. So too over here, says the Gemara, if you have blood on the floor of the Azara and a Kohen is stepping in the blood as he's doing the Avodah, that's not a chatzitza. So ask the Achronim, if that's true, how can the Mishnah Melech tell me that when it comes to the Big Day Kahuna, if the Kohen Gadol doesn't dry himself off before putting on the new begadim, that would be a chatzitza? What do you mean chatzitza? What are you talking about? All we're talking about is a davar lach. It's a little bit moist. It's a little bit wet from being in the mikveh. Davar lach is not chotzeit. So what's the answer? The answer is that by big dekuhuna, like the Ramban says, by big dekuhuna, it's not good enough that you don't have a chatzitza. If it was only an issue of chatzitza, so then we see by the Gemara Psachim that it's not a chatzitza on the floor when you step in the blood, so it's not a chatzitza either when you have water in between your baguette and the basar. However, by big dekuna, it's more than that. It's because the Torah says, al besoro, it has to actually touch his body. And since you have a scenario where it's not touching his body, says the Mishnah Lamech, because you have water in the way, or because the Gemara says you have air in the way, that would be an issue of, not a chatzitza, but something, a lacking of negia. It's a lacking of al besoro. Exactly what the Ramban taught us by Hilchas Shofar is the same halach over here by big dekuna. Some Achronim have in Shulchan Aruch, have in Ezer as well. When we talk about a chalitza that has to be performed, so it says, V'chaltza nala me'al raglo. She has to take the shoe off of his foot. Now, he doesn't wear socks when you do it. He has to just wear the chalitza shoe. We take off his socks. Anyone ever saw a chalitza before? It's worth going to see once. It's interesting. So, if you go see a chalitza, one of the most strange and uncomfortable parts is when you have, before they put the chalitza shoe on the man, they go ahead and they dry off the foot of the yavam. They take a towel and they dry it off. And then the avbezdin goes and inspects the toes of the yavam. It's very strange. So he doesn't only inspect that there should be no lint from the socks, but he inspects also it should be dry. So why is he inspecting? What's that all about? What's the problem? So what do I care if it's not dry? So the answer is, many achronim say, because again, it says, me al raglo, over there by chalitza, there's a requirement that it has to be taken from his foot. So what do you mean from his foot? Has to be directly from the foot with nothing in the way. So if I have lint from my socks in there, obviously it's a problem. But what if I have water? What if I have moisture in there? If I have sweat in there, is that going to be a problem? Some Achronim say, yes, it's a problem. Why? Because the same way the Gemara says, al besoro is a problem, so too over there, al raglo is a problem. And that's why we have to make sure that we dry off the foot and there's no water, no moisture, no sweat in there at all at the time that the chalitza is done. Yeah. No, so there is no pasuk. However, the Avnei Nezer says that the Ramban learned it from our Gemara. The Ramban learned it because he was stuck. Why does our Gemara say that gold would be a chatzitza?
I'm asking Ramban,
right.
Why did you think, why Ramban, where did it get?
Again, it's a machlokas harishonim, that's what we started with. It's a machlokas harishonim in the first place. What's the psul when you have gold at the tip of the shofar? Some rishonim say it's because It's not going to be the kol ha-shofar. If you learn like that, then you don't have any problem. If you learn like the other Rishonim, that the problem here is chatzitza, so then the Ramban is stuck. What chatzitza? Where chatzitza? What do you mean? Kol ha-nusay in ha-chotzitz. That's the klal everywhere else. So where's the Ramban get it from? I don't know. But the Avnei Nezer says we get it from the fact, probably, that our Gemara says that Mitzupa Zav is a problem. Right, they have on their own pasuk. Yeah, it's a good point. So take for another example. We have a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says, a Kohen Shelaka Be'etzbo. Let's say you have Kohanim quickly shechting Karbanos all day long and is busy in the Beis HaMikdash. So, you ever saw somebody sitting at the Shabbos table, instead of cutting the chal, he cuts his finger, right? So you get him a Band-Aid, no big deal. Unless it's worse than that, but sometimes it's no big deal. So the question is, what happens when you have a Kohen who's in the middle of the Avoda, and now he needs a Band-Aid? But if I'm going to put a Band-Aid on, that's going to be a chatzitza. I have to be able to hold the knife in my hand. So the Gemara discusses what kind of Band-Aid you're allowed to put on, what kind of Band-Aid you're not allowed to put on, and whether or not that would be considered yitur begadim. If I put on a Band-Aid, well, you're only supposed to be wearing a certain amount of clothing, articles of clothing. Now you're going to put on another article of clothing. That might be a violation of yitur begadim, of putting on too many clothes. So the Gemara has a whole discussion there. Says the Gemara as follows. You're getting into a whole discussion whether it's considered yitur begadim or not. If you couldn't put on a Band-Aid, is that considered like you're adding to the clothing that the kohen is supposed to wear? Says the Gemara, typically mishum chatzitza. Why are you getting involved in the yisur of yitur begadim? Too many clothing, too few clothing. Oh, if it's a small Band-Aid, a big Band-Aid, oh, it depends. What do you mean? Forget about all that. What about the fact that you have a Band-Aid on your hand and now you can't hold the knife the way you're supposed to because the Band-Aid is in the way? That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, number one, bismol. We're talking about where he got the cut on his left hand. So you don't need the left hand to do the avodah. You're shechting with the right hand. Now you got a cut. The guy next to you, his knife went out of control. Now he cut your left hand. So you could put a Band-Aid on the left hand as far as chatzitza is concerned. Because you don't have to use your left hand for the avodah. But the only question that the Gemara is left with is, do we have a problem of yitur begadim? That's the discussion in the Gemara. Answer number two that the Gemara gives is, no, inami biyamin. We're talking about that he gets a cut on his right hand, and the right hand is necessary for the avoda. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Isn't that a problem of chatzitza? B'shalo b'makom avoda. We're talking about where you only need to hold the knife with this part of your hand. You get the cut on this part of the hand. So it's no problem at all. It's not a chatzitza. It's not getting in the way of the knife at all. So, Rabbi Tzala Ranschberg writes in his Ha'aris over there, he says, well, I don't understand. The whole Gemara is getting into a whole discussion about chatzitza. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? And what are you doing? Which part of the hand? And where did he get the cut? What do you mean? Even if he gets the cut smack in the middle of his hand, and now he has to put a Band-Aid on it, don't we know the halacha of tefillah b'mikvah? Don't we know the halacha of chatzitza? What's the halacha? The halacha is a miut she'ena makbid. If a person has, let's say a woman goes into the mikvah, and she has a tiny little speck of dirt somewhere in the back of her back where nobody's going to see it, is that considered a chatzitza? No. Why not? Because it's a miyut she'eno makbid. It's such a small, insignificant amount of dust on her body, and it's something she totally doesn't care about. The Torah doesn't even recognize that as a chatzitza at all. So ask the Rabbi Tzal Ranschberg, he says, I don't understand. If the halachas of chatzitza are that when you have a miyut she'eno makbid, it's not going to pose a problem, so over here also, I have a tiny little bandage, a little Band-Aid in the middle of my hand. Why is that a chatzitza? What's the Gemara bothered with? What's the problem at all? That's a miyut she'eno makbid. So you'll say, no. You'll say that maybe I am makbid on it. You'll say, what do you mean? Everyone's going to be embarrassed if they have a big Band-Aid, you know, a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid in the middle of their hand, and it's in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't look so nice. So it's not a miyut she'eno makbid, it's a miyut hamakbid. So what's the halacha? Anybody know? Miyut hamakbid. Is that a psul d'oraisa or psul d'rabbanan? Psul d'rabbanan. Mid'oraisa, that's not a chatzitza at all. Mid'rabbanan, they said, if it's a miyut hamakbid, if it's something that you really care about and you don't want to have, you don't want people to see it, that would be considered a chatzitza mid'rabbanan. Frecht the Rabbi Tzala Ranschberg, what do you mean? Isn't that Ein Shvus B'Mikdash? Any din de Rabbana that has what to do with the Avoda is totally disregarded when we talk about doing Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't think about that. So over here, what's the problem? Number one, it's probably a Miyad Shein HaMakbid. Even if it's a Miyad HaMakbid, it's still only a Psul Mid Rabbanan, so it still shouldn't be a problem. So why is the Gemara getting into a whole discussion? Oh, maybe it's going to be a Chatzitza when you have the Band-Aid on the hand. Even if it's in the part of the Avoda because... What? Because what? What are you concerned of? It's a chatzitza? What do you mean? It's a miyut she'eno makbid. Oh, you're going to tell me it's a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid. He doesn't want anyone to see the Mickey Mouse is on his hand. It's going to be embarrassing. Okay, so it's a miyut hamakbid. It's a tiny little insignificant part of his body. Still, that's only midrabbana. Ein shvus b'mikdash. Okay, the question's clear, I hope. It's a strong kasha. So how do you understand that Gemara and Yuma? So he answers as follows. Maridika answer. He says, Because when does the Gemara discuss the principles of Miyud HaMakbin and Miyud Shein HaMakbin and all that? That's when we're talking about Chatzitza. But over here, by Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, this is not an issue of Chatzitza. We're talking about like the Ramban said by Shofar, and we're talking about like what the Gemara and the Mishnah Lamelech say by Tefillah B'Mikvah and Bigdei Kahuna. What we're talking about is that you need Negiyah. When you're doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not good enough that there's no Chatzitza, that there's no impediment in the way. If that's all it was about, then we would say, yeah, you're right. The regular rules are Miyud Shein HaMakbin or Miyud HaMakbin is not a problem at all. Over here, the issue is when you're doing the avoda has to be done with your hands mamish. There has to be negiyah. You have to actually touch it biyadayim. And therefore, when you have anything in the way, even if it's something which is insignificant, something which is a miut, hamakbit or a miut she'en hamakbit, that would still pose a problem because, bottom line, you are not touching the klisharis as you do it. One final place which we'll discuss and then everyone can leave. I don't want to keep you too long, but I hope everyone's enjoying, is in Hilchos Tefillin, where the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Chav Zayin, in Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Chav Zayin, Halacha Dalit, Lo Yehi Davar Chotzeitz Ben HaTefillin LeBesaro. One has to make sure that there's nothing that stands in the way between the Tefillin and the person's body. Lo Shna Shal Yad, Lo Shna Shal Rosh. Doesn't matter if it's the Shal Yad, doesn't matter if it's the Shal Rosh. Now, says Mishnah Berurah here, Lo Yehi, there shouldn't be anything in the way, says the Mishnah Berurah Dechsiv, Al Yadecha, it has to be on your arm. And by Shal Rosh it says, Bein Einecha, it has to be in between your eyes. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to have anything chotzeitz afilu chatzitza koldehu, even if it's a small chatzitza. Now, how far do we take that? So the Eshel Avram and other Achronim on Shulchan Aruch discuss, how far should we go? Well, maybe we should say that since it says Al Yodecha and Bein Einecha, it means that it has to be literally on you. So let's say I just took a shower, and now I fly into shul, and my arm is still a little bit wet, a little bit moist, or I was jogging before and now I'm still sweating by the time I get to shul. Now I put my shel yad on my arm, and there's some moisture in between the shel yad and my arm itself. Maybe you should say it's a problem. The same way by Bigdei Kahuna. The Mishnah Lamelech argues that would be a chatzitza, that would be a problem because it's not al besaro. Or, for example, let's say you have, the more common example is, somebody has a shel rosh. So the shel rosh, sometimes you don't wear it directly on our head. Sometimes you just put the end of it on your head and the rest of it is protruding out. So there's avir chotzeit. So you have space in between. So it's not that there's a piece of paper towel in between my shel rosh and my hand and my head, but rather there's airspace in between. Well, airspace by Bigdei Kahuna is a problem, right? Airspace by Bigdei Kahuna, the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yotes says, if the air is blowing and now Bigdei Kahuna are not against my body, that's a chisaron of al besaro. That's not considered on my body. Well, so to over here, some of the Achronim argue, maybe we should say as well, that since we have a requirement of al yodecha and bein einecha, we should say, even if all you have in the way is airspace, not that there's any other item in the way, but all you have is airspace in the way, maybe that should also constitute a problem. So what you see is, bottom line, that we started off with the kasha of the Chalkas Yoav, and he answered, the Abnei Nezer answered the question of his student by bringing in the Ramban from Milchus Becharus, totally out of left field, that sometimes in halacha it's not good enough just to make sure that there's no chatzitza. Sometimes there's a greater requirement, and that is that you actually have to have negiyah. Well, if that's true, then we have to figure out how does that play into other halachas as well. Let's say by Bigdei Kahuna the Gemara has the suffix. Then we said by chalitza perhaps there's an issue, and now also by tefillin perhaps there should be an issue regarding that as well. Mirtzah Shem, tomorrow we'll talk about the second answer that the Abnei